Welcome to Catholic Money Talk, where we talk about all things money and finance, and we try to do it through a lens of being Catholic, where our ultimate goal is to one day be in heaven with the Lord. I am your host, Paul Scarfone. Thank you for being here today. So welcome back to Catholic Money Talk. And today I'm going definitely off topic. We're not going to be talking so much about finances, but more about just witnessing to the goodness of God in our lives. But before we do that, let's say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We ask you for all the grace and wisdom that we need to face the challenges or the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We know that you love us and that you have a great plan for us. Allow us to yield to your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just last week, I was at my kids' school, and they do something on Wednesdays called Witness Wednesday. And I was on the school property, and I got a text from the woman on the leadership team who directs Witness Wednesdays, and she asked me, she knew I was on campus, would I have a moment in 10 minutes, so it was short notice, to come talk to the kids about a witness and give them an example of how to speak in 5 minutes or less of something the Lord has done in my life. And I had things I wanted to do. I was actually getting ready to leave the campus, and I remembered 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Enthrone Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope. So as I thought of that scripture, I thought, I need to go do this. I checked with my wife, make sure, because I was coming home to help her with something that she was good with it. She said, yeah. So I got to speak to the 7th through 12th graders at my kid's school. And I told them a story. And what I said to them was, whenever we're trying to relay how the Lord has impacted us or interrupted our life in some way, woke us up, shook us up, reminded us of his love for us and his mercy, we should be able to talk to it in a story. We love stories. So I told the kids a story, and it's the first story in my life, the first moment in my life where I feel like I made a more mature decision to pursue God. So this is the story I shared with them, and you'll get to know a little bit more about me through this story. It was the summer of my 10th grade year, so I had just finished 10th grade in high school, and I served at a summer camp, and it was a Catholic summer camp. We had Mass every day. We had moments to pray. We had fun activities, and it was a two-week-long camp. Each Wednesday night, we had Eucharistic adoration, and the summer of my 10th grade year, I was counselor for the 7th grade boys, and there was a new boy that none of us had known before. It was his first time at camp, and his mom came up to me when she was dropping him off and said, I just want you to know he's got some stuff going on. One, he's got some health issues, and secondly, earlier this year, he lost his father. And I remember being, 10th grade thinking, okay, like I got this, like I can handle anything. I know everything. I'm a 10th grader. And so camp launched, camp kicked off. And this kid, man, he was so annoying. I don't know what it was, but he was just really annoying. And myself, his other counselor, and even the campers, we were really giving him a hard time. Probably teenagers do with someone that's annoying. We usually don't have the charity and graciousness in our hearts to deal with it well. But, camp started on a Sunday. We're now Wednesday night. We're at adoration. I'm in the back of the chapel, and I'm kind of looking at the silhouettes of my campers, doing inventory, making sure they're all present. And I see this kid's silhouette. His name was Danny. And I just see him kind of shaking. And immediately I think, is he crying? I thought I should probably go check on him. So I walk up the aisle and kind of slide into the pew next to him, lean into him, put my arm around him. I say, Danny, you right? And he just puts his head into my shoulder and is just crying and says, I miss my dad. And I remember in that moment just thinking, Scarfone, what is your problem, dude? This poor kid, I don't know the severity of his health issues and stuff, but he lost his dad earlier this year, and you've just been giving him a hard time. You haven't been allowing him to feel loved or cared for. And I'm standing there thinking this, and I'm just looking at the Lord and the monstrance. And I'm thinking, wow, I really messed up. I apologized to him. And I resolved to make sure that the rest of camp, that he was just treated like the awesome Son of God that he is. And I spoke to the other counselor and the other kids in the cabin. We apologized to Danny, and we gave him what I hope was one of the best, you know, remaining weeks and a half of camp, you know, that he was able to experience. So fast forward, I'm now a junior in high school. And the school I was at, they had something called we were in choir, and we would go on a choir tour. And it was about a week-long opportunity for us to sing at different churches and schools to witness to God's love. And it was also served as a retreat for us in the high school. And so, remember, 11th grade, we're at this retreat center, and we're having Eucharistic adoration, and we're praying. One of my friends is on the guitar leading music. And I was probably distracted, not really paying attention. All of a sudden, one of the leaders of our trip, one of the head chaperones, kind of comes up and pauses prayer for a second, says, "We need to pray. A young fellow by the name of Danny just passed away." And it was the kid that I had met. And I was his counselor for the prior year. He had some type of, I think it was a heart condition. And he passed. And I remember just like breaking down into tears. Really thinking about how horrible I was to him. How miserable I am. You know, it was really, I feel like the evil one just throwing slings at me. You know, that I'm no good, I'm worthless. There's nothing that I can do right. And my friend who was leading music starts playing this song. It's called "Only for You." And it's a beautiful song that talks about how if we were the only sinner, the only person on earth, Jesus would have still come and gone through everything he went through just for us. And the song just goes on more and more towards the end that, "And only for you have I prepared a place for you with my Father in heaven." And the song is so filled of hope. And as I was listening to the words and trying to pray it, I immediately saw Danny. And I thought, thank you, Jesus, that I had the opportunity to apologize to him. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity I had, as brief it was, to try to love him and show him love and care in some way. And then I was filled with excited hope that he didn't have to miss his dad anymore, because he was in heaven, hopefully with his dad, but with his heavenly Father, with God the Father. And how awesome that is. And that's the plan. It's the plan for all of us, to one day be in heaven with the Lord. That's the plan. That's why God made us. So when I think back to that, and that is my first story that I can remember where I kind of made an adult decision, a mature decision in my faith, to say this is real and to say, Lord, I am going to try my best to pursue you. You know, sometimes when things happen in our lives, we don't understand why, and we pray so hard. We pray so hard, and sometimes we think that God doesn't hear us. Just the other day in prayer, I was thinking about the story of Lazarus. And, you know, if you read the story, it's in the Gospel of John. It says, and this is going to be my Paul Scarfone version of it, but Jesus says to his apostles, "Hey, let's go back to Judea." The apostles are like, "You're nuts. They were just trying to kill you back there." And Jesus said, "No, my friend Lazarus, he's asleep. We got to go wake him up." They're like, "If he's asleep, he's fine. Don't worry about it. It's not worth it to risk this." And Jesus, kind of getting a little frustrated with them, says, "You guys don't understand. Lazarus is dead." And then he says, "And I'm actually glad that I wasn't there, because now I have the opportunity to show you something." They go back. Mary and Martha greet Jesus. They both kind of make acts of faith to him, statements of faith. And Jesus walks over to the tomb, has them roll the stone away, looks up to heaven, And he says this prayer: Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. I don't say this for me, but I say these for the people around me so that they can believe that you sent me and they can see what you can do. Right? So Jesus is praying this prayer. Lord, thank you for hearing me. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. And then he says, Lazarus, come out, and the dead man comes out. I mean, we want those kind of moments in our life. Moments, we want to be able to pray, Lord, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But can we say that prayer? Can we pray that prayer? 2 weeks ago, we've been going through just some craziness in life. And 2 weeks ago, I was in prayer, and you know, a couple of days prior, my grandmother had passed away, and the priest that had said her funeral mass, we were in his church again the next day, and he was given a homily about being consecrated to Mary, and my grandmother had a great devotion to Mary, and the priest was explaining that when we're consecrated to Mary, we belong to her, and she cares for us in a particular way. So 2 weeks ago, as I'm praying, having my prayer time in the morning, it's about 6:30. I remember this. And I start crying. I say, Mary, I want to consecrate myself to you, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know what it takes. I don't know if there's a process, but I do. I consecrate myself to you. I consecrate my family to you. Please wrap us in the mantle of your love. Make us yours and care for us in a particular way. And I'm just placing everything at her feet, asking her to care for us and intercede in a way that only a mother can to her son. About an hour later, I get a text on my phone. Now, the text was from a man I know. I know he's holy and prayerful, but he's not someone I see often. It's not someone I talk to often. He has no idea what's going on in my life. But he sent me a text out of the blue. It says, Dear Paul, as the mother knows the needs better than the babe, so the Blessed Mother understands our cries and worries and knows them better than we know ourselves. Oh, I start crying. We're getting ready for school. One of my daughters looks at me and says, Daddy, are you okay? I said, Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good. Lord, thank you for hearing my prayers. I know that you always hear my prayers. That was the text that my friend sent me was a quote from Fulton Sheen. And I'm so grateful he did. I still didn't get his whole story of what inspired him that morning to send me this. But God is constantly showing up in our lives. He wants us to hear him. There's no father that doesn't want to be heard by his children. When I call my kids by name and I'm trying to get them to do something, it frustrates me when they're not listening to me. So do we take time to listen to our Heavenly Father? Because he's listening to us. He hears everything. And if we don't understand what's going on, we might not be able to just hear him respond to us. So my encouragement for all of us, whatever our situation is, whatever challenges we're facing in life right now, pray. Pray in confidence that our Heavenly Father is listening, because he is. And in these last few, we're almost halfway through Lent, take some time to listen. Take some time to listen to see what our Father has to say to us. Our problems could be spiritual, they could be health related, they could be financial, they could be practical. Maybe we're looking for a new job, maybe we're trying to figure out how to pay for a medical bill, maybe there's just some health related situation, maybe it's a housing thing, maybe we're dealing with some emotional or mental illness, and our Heavenly Father wants to free us from that. He wants to bring us hope. He wants to fill our hearts with joy, with love. Right? The Lord has great plans for us. A future full of hope. A future full of joy. A future full of good things. So I challenge you, this remaining time we have this Lent, seek the Lord in a new way. Put some time aside every day to listen. To listen to what our Heavenly Father is trying to say to us. Because we want to be able to, when called upon, with the Lord enthroned in our heart, to be able to explain to anyone who asks what the reason is for our hope. So that's what I have for you today. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Look in your life. See those moments when the Holy Spirit has shown up, when God has intervened in your life. Recall them to mind to build up your joy, to build up your peace, to build up your faith. He's doing this in my life right now, and it's awesome. This has been the hardest Lent I've ever had. This has been the greatest Lent I ever had. And it's funny how the Lord does that to us. Know that I am praying for all of you listening to this. And I know that the Lord hears our prayers. He always hears our prayers. Let's pray to Him with great confidence. I hope this has been helpful today. Thank you for joining me. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Money Talk. I hope you join us again next time. Please click subscribe in your podcast app to get notified of new episodes. God bless you and have a great day.